Okay, good morning everyone. We're just going to go through, before we start our lesson three, just a little review of where we're at and where we've come from. The key verse in our study and the simple secret to a better marriage is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. And that is the theme that resonates throughout this entire study on love and respect. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." It's a simple secret. Something, we've been married for 30 years, and I hadn't seen it until this year, so thank you for suggesting it, Pastor. Love and respect. Reverence also can be translated as respect. Love and respect. So, but why isn't there more of this? Why do we have a situation where half of all marriages end in divorce? Shouldn't be that way if people can grasp this love and respect. But no, instead, we finish up getting into a situation where without love, she reacts, and without respect, he reacts, and you finish up on this crazy cycle, and you're coming at each other with boxing gloves, and you can't get off it, you can't see a way out of it other than to separate. And that's not right. It's not biblical. And we saw in lesson two that there is a difference in the way that men and women communicate. They communicate in code, pink and blue. And they still finish up on the crazy cycle because what she's hearing and what he's hearing are two different things. So this morning we want to look at why she won't respect and why he won't love. We're still on the crazy cycle. We're going to get off it. We're going to find a way out of this. We need to, for the sake of our marriages and for the sake of our families. Only thinking this morning, this doesn't just apply to a husband and wife. You think about your family members, you think about how you interact with them and how they react when you get when you show no love or when you are without respect. So learning to decipher your spouse's code would be a great way to start. But it's not easy. It's not done in a day. It takes time and it takes effort. And the problems start when you let your guard down or when another issue arises. Things might return to the way that they were and they might get there fast. So realizing that marriage demands permanence and work is a good starting place. Anything worthwhile takes effort. And it was funny because the disciples complained when they heard about Jesus just talking about marriage. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 10, they said, "If this was the case, if man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry." That was their conclusion. Why bother? But we do, because that's a Bible way. And in the middle of the crazy cycle, it's not uncommon to hear from wives comments like, "Well, you're not the man I thought you were." How do wives expect husbands to respond to those kinds of comments? And at the same time, it has to be asked, how do men get themselves in such a pickle that they deserve a comment like that? So our first letter this morning, our first blank, is unconditional. Unconditional respect. Because it's a command in Ephesians 5:33, see that the wife reverence her husband. But is unconditional respect an oxymoron? A definition of an oxymoron, that's a term created by putting two words together that appear contradictory. Things like loving hate or cold fire, they're contradictory. Is unconditional love an oxymoron? No. Indeed not. But women have no trouble grasping the concept of unconditional love. That's the next blank. After all, they're wired that way. However, unconditional respect for their husbands remains a mountain to climb. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. Because I don't know that too many people have considered what's written here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation or the manner of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, lifestyle, coupled with fear, reverence." So Peter here is revealing that even husbands who are disobedient to the word of God and therefore undeserving of respect may be won by the respectful behaviour of their wives. A simple application is that if a wife was to display a respectful facial expression and tone, even in the face of the fact that her man is failing to be what she wants him to be, then that would make a difference. She can give her husband unconditional respect in tone and expression while confronting his unloving behaviour and without endorsing his unloving reactions. Now, he may deserve contempt, but that doesn't win him. That's not going to get you to anywhere, any more than harshness or anger will win the heart of a woman. It's not going to happen. And you're back on the crazy cycle. And one of the problems is that most wives, and husbands too, believe respect ought to be earned. That's the next blank, earned. The Bible teaches unconditional respect in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. 1 Peter, we're there. Go to chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Where the Bible says, "Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." Now that's a life lesson for us all, not just husbands and wives. However, to suggest respect for men should be unconditional gets some wives upset. To them, the words unconditional love are fine. No problem at all. They get that. But when what they don't get from their husband, when they don't get that unconditional love from their husbands, then they're prone to let them know it. And as we discovered last week in our study on communication, women are much more apt to show how they feel while men shut down. Men don't know how to deal with the fact that they aren't respected and they can't give a voice to their feelings. Now, do you remember that? They said in our study last week that men hear criticism as contempt and withdraw. Women feel silence as hostility and use their words. So you need some effort. And at this point, the husband is usually thinking, well, if that's the way she feels, there's nothing I can do. If I have to earn her respect, and I'm that bad as a person, then I guess I'll just forget it. When the wife flatly says her husband will have to earn her respect before she gives him any, then she leaves her husband in what's known as a lose-lose situation. You've heard of win-win? This is lose-lose. Now, he's responsible for both love and respect in the relationship. Now, we're talking about a male here, so they're weighed down. They're weighed down by lots of things, but this is a weight that's getting a bit too much to bear. He is expected, next blank, he's expected to unconditionally love his wife. So he's battling with that. And now he must also earn her respect. Now, it's shut down. Is it any wonder that men will shut down in the face of all that? So letter B is remember pink and blue. Pink and blue. Men and women think differently. It goes back to the pink and blue sunglasses and the pink and blue hearing aids. So let me give you a simple illustration. Greeting cards are all about love. Greeting cards, everywhere you go, greeting cards are all about love. And that's fair enough, because they're a clue into the minds and the needs of women. And market studies show that overwhelmingly the majority of cards are purchased by women and are given to women. And they're a multi-million dollar business. Now, the card companies are not interested in ideology. They don't want to change anyone's mind. They're out to make money. So they produce what sells. So I thought, well, I'll go to the shop and I'll find some love and I'll find some respect. So I got a card thing and I thought, well, what kind of cards would I find at a card shop about love and respect? Well, there's lots of hearts in that one. A love story, it's just beautiful. And, oh, look at that, that's lots of heart, doves and heart. And wonderful love for my wife, beautiful, lovely. Another one there, that's a lovely one, heart on it. And love a dog, we all love a dog. You know, there's a dog on that one with a rose. And they couldn't get any more hearts on that one, so they decided to go red, the colour of hearts everywhere. Now, what about a card for respect? So I start looking. I didn't have enough time to look through all of them, but I couldn't find any. So I thought, well, there must be some online, surely. So I went online, and sure enough, there are some cards you can get on respect. So I just photocopied that. You want some respect? Go out and get it for yourself. That's actually a card. And this one that they're marketing says, respect is something earned, not something given. And they're the only two that I could find on Google. Now, the studies have found that there are so few respect cards that the guy who authored this particular book, Love and Respect, has had to make his own line. And he has a small selection of them. It's amazing. Now, the card isn't there because that's not what a wife wants to hear. Honey, I respect you. Nah, she doesn't want to hear that. No, she wants to hear the love. They're locked into love. Love is their mother tongue. Now, I'm not criticizing that. It's wonderful. I'm just pointing out that the way God designed women was for love. And if love weren't the woman's deepest value, then this world would be in a very bad shape. Women are this way and we men rejoice. Unfortunately, by the same token, you won't find greeting cards that wives can send to their husbands that say, I really respect you, unless you can go online and find these particular ones that this author has done. Because they don't sell. They don't sell. When women buy greeting cards for their husbands, they want to express love for them. They don't even think about respect. They have their pink sunglasses firmly on. But sadly, the deepest yearning of husbands then goes unmet because the wives and the card publishers are locked into relaying sentiments of love. And those of you who have a son, consider how sad he may never be, never to hear from his wife, I really respect you. A need created in his soul by God will be overlooked because certain voices claim he doesn't deserve it unless he meets and maintains your daughter-in-law's romantic expectations. And if his marriage is typical after the first year, he will know his wife loves him, but will feel she neither likes him nor admires him for who he is as a human being. This won't happen to you and May, Zach, because you're in this study. And if this pattern is like most, she will spend her energy seeking to help change him by loving criticism and complaints, which eventually will feel like contempt to him. Now, you might say the crude and unloving behaviour, that's your next blank, behaviour of husbands is a deterrent to respect. Many a wife has good reasons to get in her husband's face. But remember, there's always two sides to every story. There is this cultural mindset that exists today. Unconditional love has been taught and preached for decades. Even at unsaved weddings, you will often hear 1 Corinthians chapter 13 read out. Did we have it? We had it at our wedding. We weren't saved. We had 1 Corinthians chapter 13 read out. And that is because there is the great emphasis on charity and love. And the greatest of all is charity or love. But that's only half the truth. Paul's advice in Ephesians chapter 5, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. So we were talking about Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, but before that, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, this is sound advice. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then verse 28, you skip down. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now that's sound advice. That is how men, that's how we should be. But all of the emphasis on unconditional love hadn't motivated or equipped many men to be loving, at least not as loving as their wives would like to be. Because the whole truth, which is the next blank, the whole truth, love and respect must be taught. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And we've talked about this in our previous studies, that men are good at loving themselves. And the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. So the way to fully love a husband is to respect him in ways that are meaningful to him. Because respect does something to the soul of a man. God made him that way. Now, that doesn't mean a woman doesn't need respect. A woman does need respect, and if a man loves her properly, she will get that respect. But then let us see, respect is a man's deepest value. So there it is. Respect is a man's deepest value. Women need to learn how to understand and to use the word respect. And I've heard it said, you know, this Aretha Franklin song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That was a song that I heard way back in the 70s. Ah, what a great song for women. It was actually written by a man. It was written by Otis Redding. It was a heart cry from a guy. Just saying, it was taken by women. In one national study, 400 men were given a choice between going through two different negative experiences. If they were forced to choose one of the following, which would they prefer to endure? A, to be left alone and unloved in the world. B, to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone. Well, you can guarantee which one they picked. The greater negative experience for a man is to feel inadequate, next to your next blank, inadequate and disrespected. 74% of the 400 men said that if they were forced to choose, they would prefer being alone and unloved in the world than to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone. A greater negative experience for their souls to endure would be feeling inadequate and disrespected. In other words, men would rather live with a wife who respected them but didn't love them than a wife who loved them but didn't respect them. I found that amazing. These men are not saying that they are indifferent to love. They know that they need love, but they need to feel respected even more than they need to feel loved. Perhaps a good analogy would be food and water. We need both of those to survive. But you can live a lot longer without food than you can without water. So for men, love is like food and respect is like water. Men are not indifferent to love, but they need to feel respected even more than they need to feel loved. Mark it down. The key to motivating, that's the next blank, motivating a husband. Respect is the key to motivating a husband. So if your husband is lying on the lounge, watching TV, not doing anything, not being motivated, needs respect.
That can be a hard one, especially if they haven't picked up anything else.
But unfortunately, there are voices in our culture today that say, don't show respect to men, they don't deserve it. They'll treat you as a slave, they'll abuse you, and they'll even kill you. That's the big one at the moment. And sadly, this is true of a certain number of men. But it is a lie to say that it's the vast majority. It's a minority of men. A man who has basic goodwill will serve his wife and even die. That's an explanation. Die for her. There is no such expectation for the wife to die for her husband. And I think that's where the military struggles in their situation of having women in the military. Because the men instinctively will take a bullet for the woman. And if they're fighting alongside women soldiers, they'll take a bullet for them. But they don't know if the woman will take a bullet for them, because instinctively, they're not. Now, we know there is more to love than dying for someone, but it is a sad day indeed when a man knows that he'd die for his wife because he loves her, yet all he hears from her is complaints. Proverbs 21 and verse 9 teaches, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Crazy cycle is simply spinning faster. All right, enough about the wives. Husbands, letter D. Husbands are to value wives as equals. This is a big discussion point. Equals. Because a wife longs to be the special person described in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. What a passage of scripture. A special person. The passage clearly says that a husband cherishes his own flesh, so therefore he is to cherish his wife the same way. She wants to be cherished, next blank, as a princess, not revered as a queen. She longs to be first in importance to him. It is though she is the princess and he is the prince. That's the next point. The prince goes into battle for the princess, not vice versa. The biblical order is for the husband to provide, to protect, and even to die for his wife if necessary. It's graphically illustrated on any sinking ship as the lifeboats are put over the side. The cry is always, women and children first. So we are to provide, we are to protect, and we are even to die for our wives if necessary. And we need to take that seriously, charge seriously. Provide, that means getting a job. Our role to get a job. Pray about it. If you're out of work, pray about getting a job. It'll improve your prayer life, I can tell you, when you're out of work. I was out of work for 9 months, I can tell you. I was on my knees every single day praying for it. I treated it as a job, trying to get a job. And I was on everybody I knew all through the morning. And the pastor knows the story very well, how close we were to having no money left at all at the end, and the excitement and the joy when that job came through in the end. It was a blessing to see God's answer to prayer. But it was my responsibility to provide. I didn't just say to my wife, well, okay, I'm out of work. Off you go. You get a job for me. No. And to protect as well. Finding a place that is safe for our family to live in. That's another thing. I mean, I took the charge very seriously when we had to move house earlier this year. Finding it, where would we find a place, a suburb in Sydney that was as safe as North Epping? That had only had one mass murder in the 18 years that we'd lived there, and that was a targeted attack. I'll always tell people that. But to find another suburb in Sydney, I mean, goodness me, and within the price range that we were looking at. So that became almost an obsession. I think it was an obsession. Could get a job as a real estate agent. But, you know, by God's grace, a lot of prayer again, we have a place, and the suburb is a nice, safe area. So that was my responsibility, and it's a biblical thing. And even to die for your wife if necessary. And that includes dying to self. Not just physically dying. Dying to self every day. Because there will be things, men, that you want to do that your wife does not want to do because we are blue and pink. You know, I can talk to my wife. I'd love to talk to my wife about sport, but I can see her eyes will glaze over in seconds when I start talking about it. And my daughter is exactly the same. We can forget about that. She knows that New South Wales will play Queensland in the State of Origin series. But that's the extent of it. And that's fine. I'm happy with that. She doesn't need to know any of that stuff. And it's not an accident that in every culture, as a rule, men are bigger and stronger than women. It's when you think about it, it's actually God's visual aid, if you like, concerning his purpose for men. He makes them bigger and stronger so he can say, right, this is your responsibility. When Nehemiah led his men in rebuilding the wall and fighting off the enemy, he urged them to fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives. And we should be willing to stand up and fight for our families, fight what's right, for what's right. And this is where the gender equality people get themselves in such a tizzy. And I only heard this week about the the multiple Commonwealth Games winner Tamsin Lewis was interviewed this week about a former male athlete who has now transitioned to become a woman athlete in 400 metre hurdles. And this particular guy was ranked outside the top 300 in the world for 400 metre males up until the age of 17. But at the age of 17, suddenly decides to become a woman. And so at the age of 18, absolutely blitzes the field of women in the 400 metres hurdles, sets a national record in the United States, and is now ranked number one in the United States for women's 400 metre hurdles, and is training for the Olympic Games. And Tamsin Lewis said, hey, hang on a minute. Us biologically born women have something to say about this. We don't think it's right that biologically born women should have to run against men because the men are bigger and stronger. And she made the point. Have a look at the video. She said, as they line up, here's all these petite women lining up, and here comes this big hulking person who was a guy and who still has the muscles and the biceps and the triceps, still got it all, but is a woman. And of course, blitz the field by the length of the straight. It's not right. That's God has designed them as a visual aid. This is what men are supposed to do. They're not getting it. The world's not getting it. Anyway, something in a man longs, that's the next blank, longs for his wife to look up to him as he fulfills his role. You get out there and you do stuff and you think, right, I've been really productive today. I've done all this stuff. What you'd like to hear is, good on you. Well done, love. You've done a great job today. Thanks for providing for us, or thanks for protecting us. Some thanks. Some respect. Because when she does that, it motivates him. Not because he's arrogant, not because he's looking for it, but because that's how God constructed him. And he's in there doing what God expects him to do. And there's some satisfaction in that. You know it. If you're in there doing what God expects you to do, and you've done it to the best of your ability, you think, you know, God's going to be pleased with that. Now, for many wives, hearing that the Bible teaches that women are to give unconditional respect to their husbands, that's a huge piece of information. It's something that's not previously been taught. So, they may not have heard it in any form. So, a wise husband is not going to use this information as a weapon. Can I just caution you? Instead, he'll be humble. He will let his wife process what she's learned, and then he'll let her act upon it. And when she does, miracles can happen. when he honors her as first in importance, and she respects him as first among equals, their marriage works. That's exciting. Marriage works. Did you get that? And this crazy cycle, you know what happens to that? That comes to a screeching halt. That stops there. We'll see that in coming weeks. There's another cycle that we can get on. So this week the challenge from me is, rather than seeing your differences as reasons to divide, try and celebrate the uniqueness which with God has wired you both. Love? Yep, fantastic. And respect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for time around your word this morning. Thank you for this study that teaches us how our marriages can work with love and respect. We thank you that your word is so rich with so much truth. We ask now that you bless the rest of the service this morning. Have your will and way. And in and through it all, may your name be lifted up and glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.